government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 28th on the West Coast, now September the 29th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zones. And like to welcome all those folks who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio. com, whether that be in Sochi, Russia, or in the Outback, in Australia, New Zealand, anywhere in Europe, South America, pretty much around the world now. This show's picking up more listeners as the days and weeks go by, and we're grateful for those that write in to share their comments, either about the show or about the information they're getting from our guests. Many people are reacting very positively to the truth that they hear on this show night after night, and I'm most grateful for those that have decided that our message should be heard around the world. Now, there is a lot going on in the world. It seems like we're watching a videotape replay of how they entered Iraq and Afghanistan through making these pronouncements through the UN that Iraq was interested in a nuclear weapon. I find it, as I've said on a past show, in fact, I think I mentioned this last Friday, I find it rather ironic that Israel has nuclear weapons, they even have scalar weapons, and yet they are not abiding by any nuclear treaty that other countries seem to be forced to comply with. And in particular, they have a few countries targeted now for a new scenario. It appears that there's always been this effort to provoke Pakistan and India into some kind of a disagreement that may result in them attacking each other. And although Iran seems to be minding their own business, these false pronouncements again are being made that they intend to start a nuclear war. Well, this is what we experienced in Iraq, and I remind you that they weren't firing depleted uranium at their citizens, but we are. In fact, the depleted uranium is spreading around the planet and is in the atmosphere and is measurable all over the place. Not to mention the stepping up of chemtrail spraying again, accentuated amounts of aluminum and other toxins that are put in there. And then we have this bird flu, swine flu pandemic thing that's going on. And we're going to add a new dimension to our discussion with tonight's guest in that regard, and the impact it's possibly having, based upon the information we have so far, to the U.S. Navy. And tonight's guest is a world-renowned researcher in this respect. He is a naturopath, and he is somewhat of a whistleblower as well. He's written about many of the advanced technologies used by the military establishment, or we could say the military-industrial complex around the world, and he has his own radio show on RBN. And for a fleeting moment, it's called The Story Behind the Story. For a fleeting moment, I couldn't remember the name of his show. But I apologize for that, and I welcome back to Evident Footprints. By the way, on very short notice, my good friend, Dr. A. True Ott. True, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you and to all your listeners. It's a pleasure to be on the show again, Don.
Well, True, First of all, I want to congratulate you on your show with RBN. It's tough to just start up, but you had your own show before, and last time you were on, you related to us how you had one of your guests pulled off the air really before you got started, and it was someone who had actually been asked to do a study on bringing down the World Trade Centers.
And, that's right.
And that in and of itself is worth a whole show, but that's not, I don't think, what we should really focus on tonight, unless you care to go there. What's interesting now is what we've been getting little dribbles of over the past week and a half or so about these Navy ships where several hundred crewmen have been injected. We could say vaccinated, if you want to call it that, and some have died, and it has become quite an embarrassment, and certainly the news of this isn't supposed to get out, but it is out, and I'm wondering what you know about that, what comments you might have about it, and if not, I can send you a document that Bob Chapman put out in conjunction with his international forecaster.
Well, yes, I need to also mention the story behind the story is actually running on RBN radio, also on the Rents radio network as well for 1 hour. So I got a 3 hour basically run going. It's kind of nice to have a little break in between Rents and then RBN, but absolutely, we're hard hitting. We tend to just keep pushing the envelope. There's a lot of things we could be talking about. I have files of documentation. There's a kind of a neat show premiering. I believe it's this week. It's called The Men Who Stare at Goats, starring George Clooney. I'll tell you what, this is all a story about the Earth First Battalion, Major General of the Army, Bert Stubblebean, and his whole wackiness. This is a very serious book that John Ronson authored a few years back, all about the Sound of Silence technology, the S-Quad as they call it, and basically how the mind control research has been operating in the U.S. military. What I understand now, I haven't seen the show, but The Men Who Stare at Goats has basically turned into a farce and a comedy, and it's typical. Hollywood will take the truth and obfuscate it to the point where people won't really believe a very serious subject. And that's unfortunate. The Men Who Stare at Goats is an absolute indictment of the it's almost criminal insanity what's going on in this nation's military back rooms and back doors. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to 1996, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that paper I authored. It's all about this this artificial intelligence program that the U.S. Air Force purchased from a company called Verity allowed the military to create a virtual reality future world, basically, utilizing artificial intelligence and virtual reality. They put all of these parameters, what they call drivers, literally thousands of pieces of information into this supercomputer, and it generated what the role of the U.S. military would be 30 years from 1996, the year 2025. Now, this is an amazing document in that, again, this 1996 report was taken very seriously and is still, I understand, taken seriously, given to the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I have a copy of this report. It's stunning because it talks about the events that would occur this year, 2009. Top on the list would be, quote, even though there's large advances in technology and computers and digital equipment, etc., some things would never change, and including that would be a massive worldwide influenza pandemic that would infect hundreds of millions and take many millions of lives. Well, isn't that interesting that they pegged the year 2009? And interestingly, they really sent cold chills up my spine. They said there would be a great intellectual and academic debate raging on whether the pandemic influenza was an act of nature or created as a weapon from a laboratory scenario. And many people feared the latter, the report said. Wow, it's exactly what's happening. I am constantly showing the evidence that this is a complete and utter weaponized reverse engineered virus taken from the model of Breivik Mission Alaska finding of the intact virus of the 1918 killer flu. There's so much evidence to support that's exactly what was released in Mexico and throughout the world. And yes, indeed, it even clearly shows that MedImmune took this reverse-engineered patent, MedImmune International, and absolutely patented that killer virus. For whatever purpose of insanity, I can't imagine. This is all coming around full circle. It reads like something out of a science fiction novel, but it's absolutely reality. And I just, before coming on the show, watching my local news, they announced that Utah will be getting its first shipment by Friday of the H1N1 swine flu virus vaccine, and everybody is surely excited about that event.
Yeah, it's ironic how they make these predictions years ago. Of course, both you and I, to some extent, although I've focused more on the paper trail or the connections between certain parties that seem to be in the news, at least in the alternative media, and the role that they're playing. But we have several examples of this coming out, and certain corporations were told that this was going to occur. Corporations like IBM, for example, that was considered to be critical in this whole thing. When you start talking about virtual realities or these scenarios that are plotted out, and a multiplicity of plans, this isn't basically the computer saying, well, this is what's going to happen. They feed the data into the computer. If we do this, then what will happen?
Exactly.
We do this. And so there are a multiplicity of scenarios that they look at and probably even get recommendations that they can combine several of them at the same time.
Well, I received also last week a white paper from the Pentagon, the U.S. Department of the Navy, which was stamped September 18th of this year, so 10 days ago exactly, and it outlines the projections of pandemic influenza, what they call PI. It's a 28-page document, Don, and it's pretty doggone gruesome. So, you know, people are saying this thing with the Navy is all a figment of Truat's imagination. I was actually accused of being a fraudster in breaking this story back on Thursday last, at the same time that I understand Mr. Chapman was visiting on Drew Rain's show about this very subject. But unbeknownst to me, who I'd received this from some intelligence sources, Chapman had received the exact same thing, and so Drew Raines was also seeking corroboration. This is a pretty doggone serious thing that five of our Navy battleships had returned to port because of the extensive and very serious swine flu, so-called, raging in on the ship. Now, I submit that there's no way to verify for sure. People are wanting to believe whatever they want to believe. At first, this thing started going viral across the internet about the story, and then one well-placed blog group with Dr. Henry L. Nyman, his blog there, the Flu Tracker site, basically made up a story that it was not true. Nobody in my camp had ever mentioned a ship name specifically, and we made sure we didn't even ask that. It didn't seem relevant to me at the time. But here is Nyman's group talking about the USS Boxer as being the ship in question. Well, at least on my side, nobody talked about the specific name of a group or group of ships. So it's just funny that he would come out and want to discredit me by actually using the term fraud. And so when I heard about this from a number of sources, that called to tell me what Nyman's group was saying about me, I wanted to find out more about who Henry L. Nyman was. I have no idea what he was all about and doing. But I'm telling you, now that I've done the research on this man, I have authored a white paper. I would offer it to him to refute it. It's basically all from his website and his resume, his curriculum vitae, his background and into Harvard Medical School and where he studied genomes and genetic manipulations. It goes on into his formation of his current company, which is named Recombinomics, meaning the economics or basically how to make money from recombinant viruses. Mm-hmm. Recombinant viruses is just another fancy name for reverse-engineered laboratory creations, okay? Now, again, going to what the 1996 report said to the U.S. Air Force and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, we have a debate. Nyman and this group of Ivy League biologists, so-called scientists, would have us believe that this killer virus, this pandemic virus, as they're calling it, just came from totally natural means. They want us to believe that the 1918 virus that killed so many people was completely a natural act of God as well, and they want you to believe that this these recombinant viruses happen spontaneously every 20, 30, 40 years in between outbreaks. Well, I refute that with the utmost vigor. It's literally like saying that a human egg and sperm can suddenly start to take on components of birds and pigs and cause mutations in genetic mutations spontaneously in fetuses. And it's a little bit more complex, but not too much because, viruses, Don, as you know, they have 8 chromosomal RNA strings that have firewalls just as important in their structures for gene-specific characteristics, species-specific characteristics, to keep these viruses separate and distinct per the species. To say that the bird virus the bird influenza virus could suddenly take onto itself human genetics and then be transmissible among humans in a whole new worldwide pandemic is absolutely ridiculous from a naturopathic worldview. So when I heard Navarro talking about the inevitable pandemic, when he announced it in 2005, I believe, at the floor of the United Nations, I was absolutely upset. That's ridiculous. Something is very strange. Something is afoot. Because it just won't happen naturally. If it's inevitable, as they said, if the pandemic and killer virus is inevitable, it's because they're making it happen. They're making it inevitable. They're making the pandemic for specific social, economic agendas. And so that started me.
Go ahead. I was disagreeing.
Yeah. Started me on this whole research trail beginning in 2006, watching the events unfold, watching the Bush administration through Secretary Leavitt make cases, travel to each of the 50 states, trying to force, I mean, by absolutely, you know, withholding federal funds or threatening to withhold specific funds from states unless they passed some version of the so-called Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. So here you have the Bush administration setting the stage for medical martial law, for complete suspension of posse comitatus, having the military basically run the state and federal government in the event of a pandemic influenza outbreak. A pandemic influenza outbreak that would have to be engineered in the lab to begin with. And so we see, turning back the clock this year to the date of February 27th, we have the news break from the Canadian Free Press that the very scenario that I said would happen if this pandemic were to be reality was the absolute contamination of a seasonal flu vaccine manufactured by Baxter Pharmaceuticals, having H3N2 human seasonal flu contaminated with a killer strain of the Vietnam bird flu, H5N1, that has a 60-70% mortality. Now, as the reports were, that 72 kilos of this contaminated vaccine were said to be bottled individually and put into use as a stockpile germ in the European Union. Well, luckily, the Czech Republic lab tested this vaccine randomly on some test ferrets, and they died quickly, and then it was ascertained why the H5N1 structure was in the seasonal flu vaccine. And then just 3 weeks later, in March, we have the announcement that this recombinant triple strain of bird/swine/human structures was uncovered and discovered there in Mexico. Again, following just about a week to the day after Barack Obama was there visiting and having a summit meeting in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
All these things start to add up. You know, when you start to look at all of these very questionable activities, you know, it just clearly becomes evident that there is a very warped agenda at play here.
Yeah, when you look at what's going on in the rest of the world, and here financially or economically speaking, it seems that you have a financial collapse occurring in real time right before our eyes. And in comes the swine bird flu. And then it harkens back to days on September 11th, for instance, just after September 11th of 2001, when you bring down three tall skyscrapers in New York City, all of a sudden anthrax attacks the mail. You know, these things don't happen naturally. These are planned. And it's quite obvious. I mean, we're unlike that particular attack, we have actually uncovered quite a bit of information about how this has been planned and orchestrated and how it's being kept from the public in the mainstream media. The mainstream media is obviously complicit in this. Not only are they not asking questions, they're just reciting this mantra over and over. You have to get your shots, offering discount shots at drugstores now. And actually, I have some ideas, and I've been talking to some people that have ideas as to how we can probably curtail that, or maybe even stop it by asking the pharmacies to proclaim that there is no thimerosal or no squalene in these vaccinations. And maybe you can even add some things to that as far as the live or attenuated viruses, the actual percentages. And, you know, no one seems to really be able to find out what's in these things. Are you finding that yourself, or?
Well, there's basically three vaccines that the Americas will be using. Okay, there's the MedImmune, which is the live virus nasal spray, and that circular, the product circular for MedImmune, which I have a copy of, is fairly complete in its ingredients list. I'm satisfied with that one. It lists the attenuated live virus strain, which, by the way, this virus is a patented virus by MedImmune. They own this little nasty jewel. What they're saying is kind of amazing. There's, I don't know if there's specific quantities, but there's, I believe it's 2 milligrams of pure MSG, monosodium glutamate, that's going to be into this nasal spray. Now, that's far in excess of what is deemed safe, according to Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, MSG, excitotoxin, the taste that kills. He talks about there's a certain limit of MSG, this peptide structure that can be absorbed into the brain before permanent cerebral necromancy sets in and the synapses start to misfire. The surest way to get this into the brain and closest and best way is to squirt it up your nose. That's a huge red flag right there, not to mention that in colonizing live viruses into the nasal passages and doing so in children, it's absolutely proven that they'll be shedding these live viruses. These children will be shedding live viruses for up to 2 weeks after the injection into their nose. And if you're talking about a virus that is weaponized, it's made in the U.S. Army's research laboratories. I submit that U.S. Army weapons, biological weapons laboratories are weaponizing a virus when they reverse engineer it. And so here you have this connection with MedImmune in Fort Detrick, and they have this Frankenvirus that's going to be injected into kids, which will be shedding these live viruses all over creation as they go home from school, as they go to mom and pop sitting out in dinner at the Chuck E. Cheese or wherever they go out to eat, or McDonald's. This thing is a recipe for flat-out causing a pandemic recombination to mutate and to do fantastically great damage. That's the very real possibility with the MedImmune. But to answer your question, yes, the MedImmune circular is pretty, it's got a full disclosure. That cannot be said for Novartis at all. Novartis' monovalent 2009 H1N1 pandemic flu vaccine, as they call it, what a name for a vaccine, is woefully deficient in listing its ingredients. In fact, the only thing it does talk about, it comes clean and says there is thimerosal mercury and shows the amount, but that's it. It doesn't talk about whether the virus itself is live or just fragmented. It doesn't say if it's antigen versus live viruses. It doesn't say if there's any oil and water or aluminum adjuvants. None of that is listed in the ingredients list, which is woefully illegal. I mean, to have a circular come out like that, it doesn't, surely doesn't pass the muster of the FDA's own truth in labeling laws whatsoever. So all you can do is say, well, how can they get away with this? How can they possibly bring this out, and all the research they have just basically says this is manufactured in much the same process as our seasonal flu vaccine, our H3N2 vaccine. So it's they just basically use all the testing statistics from the H3N2 seasonal vaccine as covering for this experimental H5N1/H1N1 recombinant virus.
Well, we have these draconian laws that are being passed that exonerate the pharmaceutical companies from any liability. So, really, they can put whatever they want in there and not claim anything. I wonder, by the way, the thought entered my mind while you were speaking, regarding this batch of 72 kilos of Baxter's tainted viruses, where they said they made a mistake.
Right.
Or I should say tainted vaccines, misspoke. They were tainted with live viruses in an excessively high amount.
Yes, indeed. Not only that, but the very virulent 2004 isolated Vietnam strain. Absolutely a recipe for disaster. One of the things that stands out in the Novartis product circular is paragraph 8.1, where it talks about pregnant mothers, and should this, you know, is it safe for pregnancy? And it flat out says it's not recommended for pregnant mothers, yet the World Health Organization wants them at the front of the line. How does that jive? And secondly, there's a sentence that just stands out, and it's out of place, Don, completely out of place in the whole syntax of the circular language. It says basically, this vaccine has not been tested for in animal models for sterility. In other words, there's no flu vaccine I've ever seen that's tested, again, animal models to see about the reproductive health of the animals. Why are they adding that sentence and then following it up with that this product may being the key word, cause reproductive disability? In other words, it might make you sterile if you take it.
Well, then now, they know about a substance that's in there that causes sterility then. don't
yes.
they?
Yes. Well, you compare the Novartis patent on the same vaccine, and you see how it's combined with an oil and water squalene structure called Freund's adjuvant, and then you compare a very successful international patent issued in 1998 for, believe it or not, a vaccine for mammalian sterility and permanent sterility. And you read that patent, which has been tested on anything from dogs, cats, and veterinary offices to wild feral horse herds to even the largest land mammal on the planet, the African elephant, successfully making them permanently sterile. What is the ingredients? Well, let's say porcine, that's swine, ladies and gentlemen, glycoprotein structure that's blended into an oil and water squalene adjuvant. Well, you look at the Novartis patent, compare it with that patent that's literally called vaccine, it's called immunosterilization vaccine, and you see there's amazing, very striking similarities, almost word for word. So my logical conclusion is simply, this is a forced, covert sterility project following the edicts of George Soros and Bill Gates and the other billionaires that met in Manhattan, as reported by the Los Angeles Sunday Times and the London Times, where the billionaires basically came to an agreement that the most pressing umbrella cause they could donate their billions to save the planet, it wasn't global warming, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't the pollution of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. No, the single greatest scourge was the overpopulation of planet Earth by people, by human population. And so they made it clear that a covert plan would need to be executed as soon as possible to stop the Earth's population from growing. Well, all it would take is 4 to 5 billion people on the planet. You got probably 2 billion of those that are still able to breed and have children, have offspring, have a permanent sterilization vaccine going into those people, and look what happens. You lose a whole generation would pass without an increase in population. It would drastically reduce the total global population. This is a perfect way, in my estimation, to do it. Think about it. How are you going to sell this to the people? Oh, every nation in this, in the UN, 194 member nations, we think it's important that everybody in these countries come forward and get a shot that'll permanently sterilize you. How are they going to sell this, Don? How are they going to sell it to the people?
Well, they have to sell it through fear, for one thing.
They have to hide it and make it covert. But I'm telling you, that's the agenda. That is the agenda.
Well, it's maybe it's ironic that many issues are arising now out of these Gardasil vaccines as well.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
There's a perfect example of what you're talking about, and we're not even talking about the flu there.
Let's talk about Gardasil, because there's the third shot that we're going to talk about for the influenza pandemic is a patented product made by Novavax. Novavax is targeting influenza vaccinations utilizing the same thing in Gardasil, which is something called VLP, and which VLP stands for virus-like particles. Now, what would you think virus-like particles are all about? Do you think maybe it's a fragment of the virus itself? It's an antigen reaction? You would think that, wouldn't you? VLP sound pretty benign. And as you read the company Novavax flyers and their inventions, that you think, oh, this is not a bad thing at all. It's squalene free. It's thimerosal free. There's no mercury in it. There's very little of these cleansers of like or formaldehyde structures. It could be. It looks all good from the outset. But dig a little deeper, and you find out what the VLPs are all about. These virus-like particles are genetically modified by radiation, genetically modified insect DNA made to look and act like a virus. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're talking about bug juice. It gives a whole new definition to the influenza bug, doesn't it?
Now, has anyone identified what type of insect or insects are... This is insanity. I mean, let me guess, cockroaches.
Cockroach has been named, and that would make sense because of cockroaches' DNA goes back to the Pliocene. You know, I mean, it's just pretty much a standard that everything, you know, revolves to. And that plus a form of silkworm moth that also goes back to the very dawn of creation.
Oh, so, now you're touching upon something there, because that raises a red flag that it's something similar to Morgellons.
Exactly. Well, where do you think Morgellons came from? From the same laboratories that are doing the VLPs.
There we go. See, what goes around comes around.
And the VLPs can be traced back to these Boston, Harvard, you know, Ivy League mad scientist labs in Andover, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
The Genetics Institute, okay?
Yeah. Dr. Ott, I hate to interrupt you. We have a caller that's been waiting patiently on the line for the last 10 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Would you like to take a call?
Surely.
Okay. I understand we have Liz Book on the line. Is that true?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah,
oh,
loud and clear.
Good. Hi, Dr. Ott. Hi, Don. I'm blown away by all that I'm learning. Dr. Ott, you're really something else, I gotta tell you. I'm real worried about this upcoming weekend, you guys. We went from 20 million doses to 45 million doses being released this weekend, Saturday. Oh my. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What can we do, guys? We got 4 days. 4 days to make a stand to say, uh-uh.
Well, first thing I said, I've been saying is, say no. Just say no. As a starting
point. That's all we can do.
Well, you know, the sad reality, Liz, as you know, they've made this party plans. They sent out the invitations. It started a good 6 years ago. You know, and they've already paid the piper. They've set the stage. They've hired the actors. They're not going to be happy with anybody crashing their party. And, you know, all we can do is do what we're doing is the, you know, best we can. We'll never, you know, no matter how hard we try, we're not going to break through to the mainstream media. So I guess we just have to sit and
see how it goes.
See how it goes. I mean, that's all. You know, you gotta be able to protect yourself by your own, your own actions, and allow the other person the right to be wrong. That's kind of poetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's reality.
We're talking about the sovereignty of our country. Oh, my. And our children being on the front line of this horrific attack. I don't know. Something's got to break. Something's got to happen. Where are the heroes? We're the ones who can step up and really make a difference. Is it a call to arms? I don't know. Is it necessary? Isn't there some way we can come to terms with these monsters and figure out a way to take care of our world without killing 90% of it?
Well, Liz, there's you're down in Florida. There's another woman down there who's doing the thing that Jane Burgermeister thought she was doing. This one's the real deal. Her name is Carmen Reynolds. She's United States Air Force retired as a lieutenant colonel. My gosh, this woman has filed the suit against Governor Crist, the Attorney General, as well as the Surgeon General of Florida. The response last month when she filed it, the Attorney General's office immediately filed notice of dismissal to have it thrown out. Thursday, October 1st, Liz, you need to know this, and you need to marshal everybody you can think of to go to this courthouse, even if it means traveling 2 or 3 hours, because she will be defending herself, standing in front of this judge, and saying why this needs to go to trial to stop this forced vaccination program.
Where? What city?
I think you'll have to just Google in her name, Carmen Reynolds lawsuit.
Okay.
I don't have the information of that in my fingertips right now, but, you know, we've been talking about this on my radio shows. She was on Thursday. You can go to RBN and get the archives. She was on my show on Rents Radio as well. She's extremely articulate, but she's very much, you know, nervous about going in without counsel. She's tried every pro bono counsel that's there, from the ACLU to the Judicial Watch. She's tried every possible avenue to get some representation. Even if she had the money to pay for an attorney, she reports that the attorneys will not take her money and represent her because they were talking about going against the establishment. They're going against the governor, the attorney general, and the surgeon general of Florida. Who's going to risk their entire legal career by jumping on board with a lawsuit like that?
You know, Drew, I'd like to make a comment. Some of these cases that are getting thrown out of court, whether it's a birth certificate or it's somebody that's trying to put a stop to these forced vaccinations, this term of no standing, the plaintiff never has any standing because the act has not been committed. We're talking about premeditated mass murder here. If what you and other experts are saying about the dangers of these vaccines is true, and I don't mean to use that your name in that sentence as a pun, if it's to be a true statement that people are dying from these vaccinations, there is already proof there. Now, whether they're able to hide this through the media or not, certainly if they claim someone has died, the public's entitled to know who it is.
Well, yeah, the term of standing, Don, is a legalese term that can be broadly applied. The case of non-citizen Jane Burgermeister, she flat out has no standing in any court in America because she's not a citizen. That's the first issue. Secondly, in the case of Carmen Reynolds, she does have standing because she's already been damaged by a vaccine, and she has the medical records to prove it. She was vaccinated in her Air Force career. She is now has a chronic immunosuppressant problem. She has a daily regimen to go through to keep functioning normally. So to say that she doesn't have standing because she hasn't been damaged by a vaccine, Carmen Reynolds has. She has all that proof. So it's going to be difficult for the case to be thrown out for lack of standing because this woman is a person of standing as far as military career. She is a fighter, and, you know, she just needs a lot of moral support from anybody and everybody that, that cares about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So Liz, you bet. I wish I could give you more information right off the top of my head, but as she said on my show, she gave the specific details of Thursday's meeting, and she just really would like to have a whole army of people, standing room only, show up in the judge's chambers.
Yeah, well.
The first? Is that what you said?
The 1st of October. She's going to try and argue and get an extension of time to try and get an attorney. But like I told her today, you know, we don't have much time to worry about this. You need to get on and get this thing heard now. Win or lose, you got to get it done. If she can break through, you know, there's going to be a precedent-setting case for the whole nation right now that opened the floodgates up. So this is really important. The establishment will do all they can to make her appear to be a, you know, right-wing extremist nutcase, but she is far from that. She's the real deal. She is absolutely. She's absolutely the heroine that you were looking at with Jane, but she's the real deal.
I'll be there. Nothing will hold me back. I'll be there for her.
Okay, and she's. We're trying to just get anybody that's that is available in Florida to meet her and work with her. Okay.
You bet.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Liz. Nice
thanks
to hear from you.
Your voice. God bless you.
Yeah, true. I just wanted to make that comment about standing because it's like the argument is being twisted around or spun around that that the bearing of the plaintiff has to do with who the plaintiff is and what has happened to the plaintiff, despite the fact that there's enough information out there that this is premeditated murder.
Well,
I don't know how else to look at it.
I don't know if that can be made as a blanket statement, Don. But at least it's blanket sterilization. I can say that 100%. And certain individuals, yes, the immune response and the squaling will be such that death can happen quickly. And so, yeah, will everybody that take this vaccine become disabled or die right away? I don't think that's true. Not an accurate statement at all. But I can say that if, you know, I think there's a very, very real chance of if you're in childbearing age, you both male and female will be rendered sterile. And so here's the blanket immunity from prosecution on this big, big, big subject. Oh, whoops, this was a huge mistake. There's no conclusive proof, you see, that it's tied to this vaccine. It could be a lot of other mitigating factors. Besides, we have blanket protection. That's, without a doubt, that's how it's going to shake down in my eyes.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the fact that this is, we know that this was intentional. We have documentation that shows it on a variety of levels.
Oh, yes.
And then you have this so-called vaccine that is supposed to curtail the pandemic that was intentionally started. Just the initial release of these viruses, however it was done, whether through vaccines or released into the atmosphere. I suspect very strongly that they are releasing it intentionally into nature, into the animals themselves. We know this is happening.
Yeah,
that's one method. So, and if I think you answered the question, that certainly some of this some of this animal meat is making its way into the market on some level. Maybe all of it. Who knows?
Right.
So there's enough evidence. The point I'm making is there's enough evidence out there that this is premeditated. And it doesn't matter. I didn't quote any numbers as far as who is going to be affected by this. But if it kills one person, it's still murder.
Right. Yes. And I think what's happened, and this the evidence sustains this, that the initial virus that was, you know, created and released is it's a very benign, relatively not much more deadly than a typical seasonal rhinovirus that causes a cold. People have reported that they have no fever per se. It's just some sinusitis and some bronchial problems for a few days, and it's over. By far and away, there's no justification for such a mass vaccination campaign. And then, of course, when this happens, you will see the resulting waves of mutations that will become more and more deadly and virulent. And so, the individuals plotting this, well, I didn't kill anybody. I released a simple little cleansing virus. I can't help it if Mother Nature causes this to be mutated into something much more deadly. That's how they're able to look themselves in the eye.
Yeah, what is it the virus is cleansing? Answer that for me and the listeners.
Well, it's just, again, they know that in testing the specific 1918-like virus, as they call it, there's different levels of virulence, and the one that's obviously out there is a very benign, basically harmless thing, unless you've got some underlying health problems that just causes the immune system to totally crack, and that's what causes the death. That's all that's died so far in the record is people that have had underlying health conditions, whether it's diabetes or heart disease or chronic lung obstructions. These are the type of people that are, of course, in the elitist book are useless eaters that need to be euthanized anyway. So it's all part of their plan. Then you got, Dr. Henry L. Nyman, whose computer models are able to basically supposedly track these mutations as they occur real time and predict them. Somehow he's making a lot of money doing this.
Well, yeah, this is a big agenda. I suppose their justification for removing all the useless eaters is, it's going to change the supply and demand. Of course, prices will rise. They'll continue to make their obscene profits on whatever it is they manufacture or grow or what. I mean, we're getting to the point where the foods that are left for anyone who's still around after this plays itself out would be worthless in terms of nutrition if Monsanto has its way.
Right.
You know, this all figures into Rex 84 and Agenda 21, and it stinks to high heaven.
It's a brand new world.
Yeah,
if there are benign space brothers out there, I for one say come and help us. Hope that's a reality. I only can say what I can, see, touch, and feel to a certain degree. But I have faith that maybe we can get some intervention here on a higher level, and I'd be welcome for that. Any help we can get at this point.
We've been told on this very show two separate occasions on May 29th and July 28th that we are being helped tremendously. But the level of insanity behind these creations requires a lot of catching up kind of research that has to be done to be able to counter these things.
Well,
we've been told chemtrails are being neutralized. And shortly after that announcement, many, many people remarked how they're seeing fewer chemtrails. Doesn't mean they're not spraying, because I can tell you they spray right over my house almost every day. There are various reasons why they do, but we know, again, that these things are designed all to work together. This is no accident, and we will be helped. I know we will be. We do have hope, but we have to help ourselves as well.
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely. Nobody's saying just give up, but when the hill is steep and the car's rolling backwards, we need a little nudge.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time, True. I want to thank you for coming on the show on such short notice. Is very valuable information that you shared. And I know you're referring people to flupandemiconline.com as a great source of information.
It's actually pandemic flu.
Or is it pandemic flu?
Pandemicfluonline.com.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Yeah. Had the right words, just in the wrong order.
That's right. That's no problem. that's a pretty good website. We've got corroboration with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny Ingra, and bless his heart, Don was one of the founders of that great website. And just by the way, I just want to let the listeners know that Ingra personally invited me to the burial ceremony of Don on Tuesday. I was there and honored to be one of the pallbearers to lower his remains into the grave and pay him our last respects to a great man. And it was amazing, totally natural. It was unlike any funeral or burial service I've ever been to. Just the way Don would like it. He didn't want any formaldehyde or juices or preservatives in his body. The coffin was handcrafted by some local craftsmen, artisans. It was really a work of art, a beautiful closed casket, and just honored to be there to put this great man to rest. And tragic thing. Just 3 weeks earlier, we were talking on the phone and wishing him for his what he thought was just a passing little food poisoning, perhaps. But more and more, it's apparent he was targeted. They were basically taking revenge on his activism of the Citizens Committee of 9/11 Truth, and it really that stirred so much of what we know now that has brought people to full circle that this is an inside job, and you can thank Don Harkin for that more than any other person I know. He spearheaded that. And that's his legacy.
Well, he's been involved in this anti-vaccination movement as well.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And of course, he published a lot of my articles on the fictitious history of this country and the wars and some of the characters that played major parts.
I was introduced to you by Don and. And I just want you to know he had nothing but high praise for you and your research. And even though some of the things do raise eyebrows, he says, I tell you, it all comes to bear, and Don is accurate. Don Nikoloff was accurate. So he had nothing but the highest praise for you, as you know.
Well, I'm appreciative of you sharing that with me. And I'm sure listeners probably feel the same way, too. By the way, before we say goodbye here, I was sent a link by one of our listeners, David in Washington, sent this. If you want to read up on Carmen Reynolds, you can go to www.topix, spelled T-O-P-I-X. .net/city /Navarre, spelled NAVARRE, -FL. I'll give you all that again. www.topics, with an X, .net, /city, /Navarre, -FL. And that should take you to the most recent story. So thanks to David for sending that.
Yeah, she is a resident of Navarre, Florida. I'm not sure what county that is, but yeah, that's the link that will give you the information of her docket, her court date, and all the support that she needs.
Yes.
Thank you for that, yes.
Now, Ken in North Carolina sends this as to where this is occurring in the court. Circuit Court of the First Judicial Circuit of Florida, in and for Santa Rosa County, General Jurisdiction Division is Santa Rosa County Courthouse, 6865 Southwest Caroline Street, Milton, Florida, 32570.
There you go.
So that's where you go.
What's that?
Well, any closing comment you'd like to make to give people the feeling that they don't have to fear, that they do have the ability to come up with a responsible solution?
Well, I guess it's if you think this swine flu is any way, shape or form natural, and this vaccine is good for you. Frankly, you need your head examined. That's all I can say. It's a problem reaction solution scenario. They created the problem by releasing the lab virus, and now they are putting this toxic poison together to make the pandemic really materialize, and the deaths that will follow is dependent upon the level of gullibility and, frankly, ignorant naivety and the part of the population. And the people that will die will be in direct proportion to their ignorance.
Now, those that may be interested in where they might get their head examined, just kidding.
Well, first of all, it's kind of hard to get your head examined when it's up the posterior. They need to pull the heads out first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Truot, I thank you for coming on tonight's show. I'm sure we'll have you on again. We're almost finished with September here. By the way, today is my 9th anniversary of my second near-death experience.
Today is also, by the way, my 50th birthday.
Today's
my birthday. I'm a September 28th, 1959 is the day I was born.
Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I should play happy birthday for you. I'll play it on the piano. How's that?
That's fine. I've already had my birthday celebration tonight.
And everybody can sing wherever they are. That's a first.
That's a maestro. That's excellent. What a perfect end to a perfect day. Now it's the 29th, and I'm one day over my 50th. God bless you, Don. Thank you so much. And
happy birthday. Sorry I didn't know that sooner, but thank you for sharing it. I also want to thank you for your kind words about Don Harkins and his wife, Ingrid Castle Harkins.
Yes.
And thank everyone who maybe trying to help Ingrid whittle down that enormous hospital bill. If you could send her something, you can just go to Idaho-Observer com, and they have the address posted there. I don't have it right before me here, but we need to pull together and keep the Observer going and show Ingrid how much we appreciated the work that Don did for the whole world, not just for this country. Drew, thank you. I look forward to your next visit. We'll have you on in October a bunch of times. You're willing?
Absolutely. I look forward to meeting you as well. That's a highlight on my calendar.
Okay. Same here. All right.
God bless
folks,
you, Don. We'll...
God bless you, too. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and also on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Our caller today, Liz Book in Florida, and also Ken and David for your information. Thank you. We appreciate it. To all those out there in the listening audience, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join me tomorrow night. My special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. And I wish everyone a good night.